Podcast
with your hosts Abby
and Bree.
Yay, I said that very Midwestern. Abby.
Welcome back, guys.
Yeah, welcome back. We hope we sound better.
We have two mics.
I don't want to jinx it.
It just sounds like shit.
But Bree and I are sitting across from each other on a table.
We've never done this.
No, we're sitting far apart and we have our own little dildo-shaped microphones.
I feel like Dax Shepard. You know, like where I need just a recliner that I'm sitting
in. That would be ideal. So next step is buying stands.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then next step
is buying recliners.
Headphones.
Yes.
And then recliners.
Yes.
And perfect. Then overalls, because he wears overalls all the time.
He's very hot to me.
He's very good looking.
Okay, so...
So, Abby, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Where can the listeners find us?
Well, they can listen where they're listening right now.
Wow.
And then they can go to Instagram, at the On Call Room Pod, and they go to... I had to burp. They can go to patreon.com/theoncallroom where they can get lots of different benefits from donating to the show. Mm-hmm. One of these awesome things that we introduced, we talked about last week, and now we are officially making it happen, but we have t-shirts and tank tops available to you.
It's a big deal.
It's a big fucking deal.
John already committed to buying 100.
Jake told me he wouldn't buy any because it would cut into the profits, which I was like, that's too business-like. Just tell me that you will buy one. So anyways, we designed some awesome t-shirts and tank tops. They're black. They're super fucking soft. And they have the list of the 5 interns on it, as well as your 2 favorite host names. That may sound like the dumbest t-shirt idea you've ever seen, but if you look at it...
It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the last names, which today one of our listeners told us that you can say their first names and it's magic.
I know, that blows my mind.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So, and then on the back is our logo.
Alex, George, Izzy, Christina. Did they do that on purpose? Magic.
I don't know, but it's a weird. It's kind of weird. They're not very magic.
Yeah, they are. We have a whole podcast about them.
That's true. They're very magical.
They are very magic.
So tank tops are $30, and they're really cute. They have like a little side slit on either side, so you can tuck the front in or do whatever you want. The t-shirts are unisex and really, really soft. They're black as well, and those are $22. And you can order your own by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. There is a public post there with an order form. You need to fill that out. Once we get most of the orders, we will then begin invoicing, and only then will we order them. So we're going to wait till we have all of your orders before we actually get them in our hands. So it might be a couple weeks, but be patient with us. And yeah, we're just really excited about them.
Yeah, if you are a patron, you can also find that in the listener squad.
Yep, exactly. And if you don't know what that is, go to Facebook and search the listener squad or the On Call Room listener squad and make sure you are a $2 or more a month patron in order to join that conversation group. It's pretty great. We've got some, we get some good laughs.
Yeah.
Some good gift sharing.
So if you want a t-shirt, fucking do it. Just buy a fucking t-shirt because who knows, this might not ever happen again.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, maybe if we do this again, it might be a different version of the shirt. It might not be this exact shirt again.
Right.
Or it might be a bumper sticker.
Well, right, because the further we get in the show, like, some of those people are going to die.
Yeah, so we might just have a shirt that says Chief. So if you're holding out for that.
Season whatever, Chief. Chief. Also, Chief. We should, that brings us to our next point, which is The On Call Room is a podcast about Grey's that has spoilers. Even though we are talking about the season 4 right now, we are going to reflect on the whole series as a whole in order to like kind of show some foreshadowing. And this is also a new announcement. We've just been saying spoiler alert, which is no one actually probably has time to pause it before that happens. So now we are officially just letting you know, if you don't know that George gets hit by a bus.
Too fucking bad. You should have watched it a long ass
exactly.
time ago.
So make sure you do that. But yeah, I don't know. Please buy a t-shirt. Please let us know what you think of them. And I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of you have been doing messaging us on Instagram. That's great. So you have some pretty fun news or little something that happened recently.
Yeah. So I hope she doesn't mind that I'm sharing this, but one of our listeners who, I feel like it's weird to call her that because I now feel like she's a friend and has been for a while, but I was at a wedding a year and a half ago.
Oh gosh.
We sat at the same table and I met her. Her name is Laura and she's incredible. And she then, since then, got engaged. Oops. I just
oh, dang.
Ding, 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 ding. She got engaged and...
That was like clinky drinks. Like
it was. And she got engaged and I'm doing her wedding, which is coming up this winter. And I got to shoot her engagement photos. We didn't talk about Grays at all when we were doing it, but she's just the most kind, wonderful person, and so is her fiance.
I can't wait to meet them both.
Yeah, when you're there. We went off-roading on these, like, dunes.
Cool.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm not, this isn't me trying to plug myself, but if you want to check them out, they're kind of fun. On my Instagram, which is at Abby L. Moore, there is like a little highlights that's called Engaged. And I like posted some of her photos there. And it was just so cute. And they had greyhounds who are like the greatest dogs ever. And I feel creepy because I feel like Laura doesn't realize how much I actually love her. But I hope she now knows.
Well, there we go.
She listens. Like, she's caught up on the podcast too, I think.
Well, that's great. I can't wait to meet you, Laura. And what's her fiance's name?
Austin.
Can't wait. In your greyhounds. I can't wait to babysit them. Just can't wait till we're all friends.
Real friends. But yeah, so I don't know. It was very exciting and off. What are you? You look shocked.
It's totally fine. I would like to plug myself now.
Yes, please do.
At BJ Babs, that's BJBABS. And if you're, you know, Abby's shown some cool engagement photos. I recently posted a photo of me bowling. So that is thrilling. If you want to see that, you can head on over to my Instagram at BJ Babs.
I feel like yours is actually better because mine's just photos of other people.
Mine's me doing really stupid things like bowling on a like Saturday afternoon, one of our last like 75 degree weather. I was like, let's go bowling. I didn't actually suggest it.
That's how you said it. Let's go bowling. I'm so bad at bowling, listeners. Like actually the worst.
You get like 40s?
Yeah, like 40s. And I'm trying desperately.
I broke 100 my second game.
That's incredible.
So it was like 110 or something.
I don't know what my life would look like if I could break 100 in bowling. I think I'd be happier. I do.
That's how you like measure your happiness?
And it's just because like That's Rent she's singing if anyone doesn't know.
Measuring pins.
Seasons of bowling.
Seasons of frames. Because bowling's frames.
I hate frames. I hate bowling. I love bowling. I'm just bad. I like the food.
Chicken tenders. Like the worst food.
Oh, it's so good.
But like really good. No, yeah. I'm saying, but like the fact that you're like, I love the food. It's like chicken fingers.
I know.
And
stuff.
And John did make a good point the other day. He didn't feel well after bowling, but I think it was the beer, whatever. But he made the point of like, I did eat finger foods while sticking my hand in a bowling ball. And I was like, oh God, that just ruined bowling for me. Because you are like just...
Yeah, they don't clean the inside.
No, dude, and you're eating all this finger food.
I'm really grossed out thinking about the germs inside the bowling ball.
Yeah, man.
Like, I'm sure they clean the outsides of them.
Who knows? Probably not on the west side of Grand Rapids.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Sit on that.
I can't. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
Buy a t-shirt.
Buy a t-shirt. And also, I don't know. I thought I had a point to make. I'm just mostly excited for you to hear the interview that we had.
Yeah, it was really great. And there's a little surprise about who she is and where she is.
Yeah, it's so very exciting. And it just makes me really appreciate all of you listeners. That's all, I guess.
You're all wonderful.
Y'all are so wonderful.
If you want to be a patron,
go to patreon.com/theoncallroom.
It's a good time because we'll probably start scheduling co-hosts soon.
Yeah, we are going to do that. So if you've been waiting, now is your time. Also, I just wanted to say that I feel like our life has been really good and chill lately, which is why we have less crazy stories to tell.
Yeah, I think we're all just kind of settling into, well, I'll just say this, that I feel like as human beings, our lives reflect like actual seasons, the actual seasons. And so fall is this great time of like harvest and wonderful shit. Just watch out, winter, because winter is a time of stillness and reflection, and so Abby and I will just be silent, staring at each other like we have nothing to podcast about.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of stuff happens. There's stink bugs. There's, you know, just things like
Santa.
Holidays.
Holidays are a good one.
Yeah, and I like love and hate the holidays.
Yeah, they're the worst. I just said.
I was gonna say, do you try to mask that your hate for them by trying to overcome? Yeah, like loving them.
I have so many good fond memories, but really, it's like multiple breakdowns.
Yeah,
like family level breakdowns. Yeah.
You have a lot of decor. How is that? Oh, let's talk about.
So this. I've already decided. I told John I was sitting on the couch the other day, and I was looking around. And I was like, I think I'm gonna do a little less decorating this year for Christmas. I've never been here for Christmas. He was like, okay. But I think what I'm going to do, because usually every year I take down all my normal decorations because I have so much shit that I have to take it all down for the room for my other decorations.
Right.
I think I'm mostly going to leave up the normal decorations. We have a lot of great plants and stuff, and do more like around doorways, like I always do, like garland and stuff. Yeah. But do more of that with lighting and then a tree instead of like random
little
snow
things.
House things. Yeah.
Are you going to have a tree?
Yes. We're going to put it right here. We're going to move one of our chairs up to the attic and then move our other chair that's in like our library area. We call this room the library.
Oh, it looks so nice in here.
Yeah. We're going to move that where the other chair is. I'll show a picture, everyone, when this all finally happens. It's not even close to Christmas. But I'm already thinking about where the tree's going to go. So Abby and I will be recording right in front of the tree.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be like right in the corner and there's like two windows next to it.
I really love having a tree, but I feel like it's...
You take it down the next day.
Well, I'm very happy when Christmas is over.
Yeah.
It's like a great thing for me. But my thing is, I feel like it's always like pulling teeth to go get one. Like for... It's just not...
I always do it day after Thanksgiving.
Yes. And then also, I'm always the one that, like, solely decorates it.
I'll come help you.
Okay, because and then I'm also the one that has to put it away and take... It's just like...
Dude, I'll come do it. I will, like, if you let me do the day after Thanksgiving for my tree...
then, no, I'm booking that one for
mine. Then I will do it on, like, Sunday or whatever with you and, like, put on Christmas music the whole time and wrap the lights around and do the whole thing. I'll do it with you.
Okay.
And then we'll make it fun.
Okay. One year it was fun getting a tree. Jake and I had gone to brunch at the Winchester on a Sunday and kind of drunk.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those days, the snow was like coming down like crazy.
Yeah.
But he had promised me we would get a tree. And that was his first winter with a truck.
So
it's a lot easier to get a tree.
Yeah.
And we went to like a cut it down yourself lot. And I mean, the snow was like, I wore snow pants. It was like up to my knees snow.
Oh,
I have
that's
pictures.
Fun.
It was gorgeous. And then I remember he got kind of mad because I was like, you know, basically like backseat driving on how to cut it down.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you want to do it? And I was like, this is a moment, Abby. And I was like, you know what? Sure. And I got down and didn't complain and sawed that motherfucker down with a handsaw. And then he was like, okay, well now you have to drag it back. And I dragged the whole tree back.
Fuck yeah, you did.
And I was really, and then but you know, halfway when they realized that like, their point was not proven.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I can help you. Let me get it. Yeah. I was like, no.
No, I'm going to finish what I started.
I will carry this. So anyways, that's how
I
feel.
And then you've been carrying it ever since.
Yes.
That tree.
That tree on my back. But yeah, so anyways.
Buy a t-shirt.
Buy a t-shirt. Merry Christmas. Buy one for your mom, for your friends. It's a great stocking stuffer.
Oh, that's great. You can unfold it and roll it and tie ribbon around it.
Yes. And also,
shove it
I
in
will
a
say,
stocking.
Like, I mean, I know we'll have them before Christmas, but it might be one of those, like, around, by the time they get ordered and delivered to all of you,
yeah.
Like, around November-ish something. So
yeah, so just, like, shove them in your
perfect.
Closet. You know, like, maybe get it for your person who also listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
And so you both accidentally send a t-shirt to
right.
each other.
Right, or, like, buy it for yourself for your, like, boyfriend who doesn't know what to buy you. And so
yeah.
you're like, here. This
Justin
is
and
I
did
want.
That the other day. We were at a festival and I was like, I really want that scarf. And I was like, but I can't justify buying it because I bought these like romper pant things. And he was like, well, do you want me to get it for you? And I was like, yeah, for my birthday present. I was like, so just like hide it.
Brie was at a pagan festival.
I was. It was great.
Yeah.
I bought some crystals and I bought
an overpriced air plant. Didn't you already tell that story?
No, that was Easttown Street Fair.
Oh, that was
the air plant was. Yeah. I've been to a lot of festivals recently.
None of the music.
The season of festivals.
Season of festivals. So anyways, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be almost to talking about the episode.
Perf.
Hey everyone, the On Call Room has a sponsor, and it is A-Day, which is an awesome women's clothing line. They're based out of London and New York. They're a small company run by women, which is baller. I was going to say boss, and I couldn't decide on a word. One of our listeners actually just told us that she just ordered the sweatshirt. It's called Like a Boss, and it almost feels like scuba material, which I know does not sound comfortable, but it is, and it makes you like look sporty, but also dressy at the same time. She's gonna send pictures when she gets it.
Love it.
But anyways, it's an awesome clothing line. You can check it out at www.thisisaday.com. Brie has some leggings from there that she loves.
They are what are they called again? I always have to ask.
Oh, breaks on.
So it's funny you say that because I actually wore them to work today.
I'm not lying.
John can attest to it. I had on those leggings with like a longer tunic-y shirt and my Dansko's and like a nice gold necklace with it.
Perfect.
Hair up.
Gucci.
Yeah. Everything was black and fabulous. And honestly, my legs feel super slim in them because they are leggings, but they have this like great little stripe down the side that makes it look super classy. I've never worn them like out yet.
They'd be a good winter pant.
But I have a feeling they're going to be some bar wear for me. You know, like maybe you wear a little bit of crappy thing with like a sweater thing. And that's the whole point of this is to be able to like leave work and go to the bar and like also work out. Cause I could absolutely wear those to yoga and feel fabulous. Sucks in my gut. So I'm going to go to A-Day and I'm going to get another pair of pants.
Speaking of which, they came in new colors this week, those leggings. They're in like a slate color and a different blue color. So
perfect. They're fabulous. So, I would definitely, you don't know where to start, honestly, I would start with those leggings.
Yep.
They're fabulous. You can dress them down, dress them up. I wear them like 3 times a week.
Yeah, and if you are someone like me that travels a lot, their clothes are awesome because it's kind of like a tiny little capsule wardrobe that you can just bring with you, and it's good for all weather. Mm-hmm. So when I'm going to New York in October, and I will probably bring like the leggings, a pair of pants, like the button-down shirt, the Something Borrowed shirt, and then like the hoodie that I'll travel in the hoodie, but I can also dress it up. Like I could wear it on an airplane and then go out for cocktails and put on red lipstick and still look good. So
and that's the whole point.
Yep.
Just, it's all about the accessories, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
To dress up and dress down. But really we just need like classic pieces.
Staples.
That are high quality clothing, so you can wear it multiple times a week.
Yep, and so you can get 20% off your first purchase by using the code OnCallRoomXAday at checkout. Again, that's OnCallRoomXAday at checkout, and you can find them at www.thisisaday.com. We also want to read a quick little review that made us laugh. This is from Uber Genie, who I know will be a co-host coming up soon. She wrote, "Here are a list of similes that sum up my feelings toward the show." I think she's talking about our show.
I hope our show. Sure.
"This show is as good as SNL skits where the actors crack themselves up. Abby and Brie are as good together as macaroni and cheese, only lactose intolerant. The tangents of conversations are as diverse as jelly beans. This show brings me as much happiness as endless Costco samples. I laugh like a hyena every episode. I look forward to new episodes as much as I look forward to eating the marshmallows after eating the boring pieces in Lucky Charms." Do you save?
No, fuck no, I don't.
Oh, I have to have at least a marshmallow in every bite, but then I save the rest of them.
I do not save them.
Oh, that bite of pure marshmallow is so good. Okay. "This show makes me as happy as waking up thinking it's 6 a.m., but it's only 2 a.m.
That is a great feeling.
It is. Brie and Abby love each other as much as Christina loves saying 10 blade. Abby's feelings towards Izzy are as wishy-washy as a whirlpool." That's funny.
Wait, what was it?
Because I go back.
Wait, what did you say? Abby's feelings.
I'm going to tell you. Abby's feelings are as wishy-washy about Izzy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I go back and forth on it all the time. Their knowledge on Grey's is as detailed as a Britannica encyclopedia.
Thank you.
"And I love this show as much as I love hot cheese."
Well, how much do you love hot cheese? I hope 10 scalpels.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you, Jeannie, for that review. Make sure you go to iTunes and leave one so that other people like Jeannie can find the show. So we're going to get into it now.
Awesome.
And we're going to we're gonna take a little jump, a jump across something.
Just, we're gonna leap and jump.
You'll
and
understand
flip and...
this joke in a minute. Can't wait to get into it. Season 4, episode 4. Here we go. All right, everyone. Hello.
Hello. We have a special guest with us tonight.
From far, far away.
Yeah. Scrubbing in with us tonight is Kelly. And she, Kelly, where are you right now?
I'm in Hertfordshire. It's just above London in the UK.
Which is crazy. Can you tell us what time it is there?
Give me 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. It is 43 minutes past midnight.
Oh my goodness.
So quarter to one.
That's crazy. Yep. How have you prepped for, like, did you stay awake? Did you take a nap? Are you responsible for the lives of anyone else?
No, it's okay. I'm 19, so no lives.
Perfect.
Good.
That's to be great. Responsible for, it's all good.
Do you have like school or class or work or anything tomorrow?
I mean, I have work from 9 till 5 tomorrow, but nothing after that. So I'm planning on just crashing as soon as I get home.
That's fine. Perfect. Just drink a lot of tea because you guys drink tea there, right? Not coffee. I don't know.
No, I don't drink either, but.
Oh.
I was just.
How about a monster?
I was just over there. I wish that we had talked to you before then.
Yeah, you did maybe speak you'd be to like, me.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. It's okay. Don't worry.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, we messaged. You and I messaged.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I meant, sorry, in real life. Like, we're going to have an hour hangout right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that, actually. And was that you? You haven't been to the Harry Potter Museum, right? Or you're going?
Yeah, that's me. I haven't been.
But I think I tried to, like, guilt you into going, probably.
Do you like Harry Potter?
Probably. I love Harry Potter.
Oh, she has to go.
Oh.
I'll go again. I'll go with you.
Okay, that's fine. Just, yeah, pop over.
Perfect. Roz hasn't been either, and she lives over somewhere in your country. So,
yeah, great. But she has more of an excuse. She's, like, 5 hours away. I'm literally 5 minutes around the corner.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it very expensive?
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, kind of, but worth it.
It's just like my parents have always hated the idea of it, so never took us. Yeah.
So what's the station? I'm trying to think where I went to, where then I got on a bus. So, and I'm wondering if that station is really close to you. It was ginormous. Lots of buses.
Really helpful.
But it wasn't just like what was it called? I'll think of it. Anyways.
Not Watford Junction.
Yeah, it was Watford Junction. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay, so sorry, back to Grey's Anatomy. Bree is going to ask you some fun questions and answer as openly and as not openly as you'd like.
So okay. We know that you are not in the US of A.
No.
Lucky you. not great things happening over here right now. What do you do? You said you have to work tomorrow. Like, you can speak to whatever you want, where you work. You can make it up if you want.
That would be more interesting. I am I'm a PA at my dad's office, which is about as delightful as it sounds. And also I'm a dance teacher afterwards. So I work 9 till 5 and then usually I'll rush off and teach for a couple of hours in the evening.
Oh my gosh, that's so great.
That's perfect. I keep wanting to ask my own questions. Go on.
No. I was just going to ask, like, is a PA the same over here, over there, as it is over here?
I feel like...
What does it stand for?
Personal assistant.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you thinking medical terms? I was thinking, she was impressed that you were 19.
Yeah, I was like, damn, when did you go to, like, med school? That's really cool.
When she was 10.
Yeah, personal assistant. No, that's awesome. Your dad will be like tomorrow, like, what did you do last night? You'll be like, I stayed up late chatting with some ladies in the United States. They'll be like, that's weird.
Yeah, if you can't already hear.
Okay, so what year did you start watching Grey's?
2016.
Ooh,
okay, so,
a newbie.
Quite recently. Yeah.
And have you watched all of them?
Yes.
Okay, so you're caught up.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
How many have you rewatched?
Here and there. I haven't done a full rewatch yet.
Perfect.
I've rewatched up until where we're at with the podcast, and I've watched bits that I've liked.
Yes.
But not a full rewatch yet.
Okay. Do you have a favorite character?
It varies. I love Bailey, and that's like my solid go-to. Always will love Bailey. But I really, really love Alex.
Yes!
Yeah, he's just... There's just something about Alex that just... I don't know.
Yeah, he's a good character.
I can relate to that, too. I have sort of like a... I think if they were all in front of me, like, that might be who I would choose. I don't know. I like his character, his arc and all of that. So I relate. I love that.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. I don't think anyone else has said that.
No, I don't think so either.
Do you have a favorite relationship?
Yep. Quite an unpopular one, but Alex and Joe, I really, really love. Aww. I'm very happy with the series finale that we've just had.
Oh, yeah, that would be like a joy.
Yeah, well, and I mean, if you love Alex, he kind of got his happy ending. So
yeah, just want to see him happy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How is it for you watching the episodes now that we're in with, like, Ava?
Ugh.
Perfect.
That's a great response. I think we all feel that way. Do you have a least favorite character?
Ava.
Perfect.
But also, Adele, obviously. And
Richard. And then,
in my notes, I literally just have a very long-winded spelling of Richard and just me being very irritated. It's just one note. The space is either side of it. Just that's all I needed to say.
I cannot wait till we get to that, because I wrote the same thing. This is a bad episode for you if you don't like Adele.
Really hate.
Yeah, she's worse. How do you feel about Han?
No, not fan either, but Adele's far more irritating.
Yeah. Do you have, I'm going to put these two together, like a favorite death or something that like moved you, or like a character you miss the most? So it doesn't necessarily have to be a death, but.
Okay. So favorite death is George, but not necessarily because it's just George dying. It's the whole Izzy thing that goes along with it. I remember literally just weeping. And being up for the rest of the night, then like I literally had to take a break. I couldn't watch it for another couple of weeks. I was like, no, I need to just breathe.
I relate to that because you didn't know who it was. Remember, like you didn't know who was dying. Oh God, that one
absolutely
hit me too.
No idea. Because also I hadn't heard anything about it. Like it was completely unexpected. There was no. I literally just put the episode on one day and. That happened.
That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's very sudden. Because I feel like with Derek, we all knew he was going to be off the show.
Yeah,
I didn't know that either.
Oh. News does not travel across the pond.
But also, like, I just was completely oblivious to anything or anyone talking about it until I was watching it, and it had already happened when I started, so.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. That one would be really a real shocker, a real gut punch, that one was. Let's see here. Do you have an unpopular opinion about Grey's?
I think just that, well, it's starting to change, but I always had a soft spot for Izzy. This episode, though,
not so much.
I'm starting to see why people don't like her as much. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there are some Izzy lovers in our group, though, too. And I have, like, the thing where when I first watched it, I loved her. And now the rewatch is making me question it.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something about, like, when you first see it, you don't, you don't analyze it as much. I don't know.
Well, but also, I've realized is I was in her situation when I first watched it, which probably didn't help a whole lot.
Oh.
You had a George?
I was... He's nothing like George.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, juicy.
I had a best friend that I... This is a lot.
It's okay. No one knows you over here.
Exactly.
No, that's perfect. I truly believe that's why I feel the same way.
Relate to it.
Yep, yep.
Was Jake your George?
No, it wasn't Jake. It was when I was in high school watching
There
was,
But
I also think that I also knew I was never going to get a McDreamy. Like, that's not the kind of boys I was ever with. Mm-hmm. I was more so interesting.
I don't think Jake would really appreciate you saying that he's not
McDreamy.
That was
me in high school when I watched it. My first initial thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
He is a McSteamy.
He's a McSteamy. And then,
should we just ask her how she found the podcast? I've never asked a question and I've always wanted to.
Yeah, go ahead and ask that one.
Hi, Kelly. I'm just curious how you found the podcast.
I had just finished listening to another podcast I listened to, and I was like, well, what else do I actually like? I thought Grey's, and it was one of the first ones that popped up. There was wine on the front cover. I was like, yeah, okay, sold.
Wait, because you can drink over there at 19,
I can.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys are sons of bitches. That's so great.
It's just not even fair.
Yeah, you guys are doing it right. We are... not.
We're very wrong anyways over here.
Okay. Well, should we get into the episode, do you think?
I think we shall.
And then, Kelly, you said you took notes, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, do you have
maybe too many?
That's okay. No, never too mind. Yeah, never too many notes. So this is season 4, episode 4. The title is The Heart of the Matter. And Abby is going to read the monologue
real
fast.
I'll read the monologue. It says, "In life, only one thing is certain, apart from death and taxes. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good your intentions, you are going to make mistakes. You are going to hurt people. You are going to get hurt. And if you ever want to recover, there's really only one thing you can say. Forgive and forget. That's what they say. It's good advice, but it's not very practical. When someone hurts us, we want to hurt them back. When someone wrongs us, we want to be right. Without forgiveness, old scores are never settled. Old wounds never heal. And the most we can hope for is that one day we'll be lucky enough to forget."
Damn.
Dang.
So
should we do first notes?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to go first, Kelly?
Mine is about the monologue, and it's this monologue iconic. This has stuck with me.
Interesting.
Oh, really?
This is one of those ones that you know when you're like listening to it and you can almost say the words ahead of when it's happening. I don't know why. I really like that monologue.
I love it.
You know, speaking of monologues real quick and Grey's monologues, I don't know, like, I'm happy that Abby and I started reading them. And it's like, we just picked this up like 3 episodes ago. But like, I feel like they speak so much to the episodes.
Yeah.
And also I feel like we don't pay, Abby and I at least, don't pay attention to them that much. But I think other people do. And my other thought is, does anyone remember having away messages on like AOL and people would write the monologues? Like things from, do you remember
from
that?
Grey's?
Like from Grey's and stuff?
I don't know that.
Or like Sex in the City.
Yeah, I remember some of those because that show started with monologues also, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking about that people would like pull monologues and put them in like.
You'd have to be like.
Or they're like profiles.
You'd have to be like sitting on your computer, like typing it as it's happening almost, because they were hard to find. Like on the internet, there wasn't like this Grey's Wikipedia page like there is now.
We're forever grateful for.
Do you like this episode as well or just the monologue? I guess we'll find out throughout it, but.
No, I like this episode.
Perfect.
Okay.
I really like it.
Perfect. My first note is, in quotes, "I forgive you." And I go, yikes, not what George wanted to hear.
I wrote, "What, Callie forgives him?" Not the answer he was looking for. Yeah, like his face is just like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
like,
wasn't expecting that.
No, not at all. I didn't write a lot of notes about this episode, so I'm going to kind of let you two, like, lead it. But should we do a shotgun workout?
Yeah, so... I did not use their names, but I have their names in front of me, so let's just do it that way.
Okay.
We have Ruthie Sales, who is the one with the crushed ankle, osteoporosis, and the bleeding duodenal ulcer.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that one is called Diets Will Kill You.
I'm deciding.
Then we have, I wrote Football Boy. He's Adam Singer with the neck injury. We'll call that Douchebag Dad. And then we have Camille.
It's Chief's niece.
Yep. And who has ovarian cancer, chest, lung, and throat metastases. I'm not saying that.
No, you're metastasized.
Metastases,
I think.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I don't know if that's true, but it sounds
right.
I'm going
to go with it. And then we have Gretchen Bitzer, who is the lady with the moles who was told she's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, can we just hit that a little bit real fast?
Sure. Let's go there.
That they've done this storyline, like, this is now 3 or 4 times.
Where, have
like,
they?
Someone thinks they're going to die, and so then they do erratic things. Like, the person with the tapes who mailed in all the tapes and then regretted it. We just had the person who thought she was going to lose her tongue, so she told all the shit to her friends.
Then later on, spoiler alert, we have the one where the lady has the brain tumor, and so her and her husband go travel around the world, and she has a fork in her neck because she was giving him a blowjob under the table. And they do this a lot. You're right.
Right. So it was kind of like, okay, funny, interesting, but like, we've seen this. But then I had a question for you, Bree. Because I know you've had a mole removed.
Yeah, many.
What if you were there to do that, and someone
said
told you
I was dying?
Said you were dying.
I think I'd go find God.
Would you cry like she did in the hospital?
I think I'd be like, are you sure? And then like, okay, we're sure. And then I think I'd go spend some time alone. And then I think I would, tell the people I love and then just be like, let's go travel. Like, let's have a bomb-ass party.
Yeah.
And let's go out with a ba-bang.
A ba-ba-bang.
I don't think I'd be like, ooh, but maybe.
I think I would also be like, I need a second opinion. Yeah. But we'll see.
We'll see when that happens.
Yeah. I also just want you all to know, Izzy got a haircut. It's short hair now, all suddenly. Right? Was that this episode?
Oh, was that this episode? She is always short hair to me in my mind.
Oh, she's always long hair to me in my mind.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Did she do it a couple of episodes ago and just have it up?
Probably something like that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, which storyline should we hit first?
Well, there's like the Derek, Lexi, Christina situation. I don't know. There's what else is there?
The
Callie George.
There's the Callie George. There's the Derek Meredith.
Yep. And Callie and Izzy, the fight.
Yeah.
Let's save that for the end. I feel like that's kind of an epic part. So how about the Derek and Lexi and Meredith thing?
You mean Christina?
Sorry. Yeah. Well, they're all involved.
Okay. That storyline.
Yeah. I basically I wrote Derek versus Christina. They never like each other.
No, I don't think they do. But I think if we can, if we talk about what we've talked about on the episode a couple times before, is that, the main love story is Christina and Meredith. So maybe Derek is threatened by Christina.
Right. He's so, and vice versa, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like he's so not professional in this situation. Like, how he was talking to Christina. And I don't know. What did you think? Kelly, did you have any thoughts on that?
I would agree with that also, but I also thought Christina was just kind of being a douche.
Yeah.
She was also being very unprofessional and just rude and... Yeah.
No, I think you're totally right. Like, she was... She's definitely on this, power...
Mm-hmm.
I want to say power horse, but that's not what it's called.
A power trip?
But maybe.
She's on a power horse and she is galloping.
That's not the saying at all. What is the saying with a horse?
I have no idea.
High horse?
High horse and a power trip. I put those two together.
She's on a power horse.
That is so good. I got to write that down. Power horse. She's on a power horse right now. And she's galloping over everyone's faces, and it's like, it's so obvious, like, she would not be where she is if people like Burke didn't teach her,
right?
And she is not about teaching. But here's the thing, like, Derek is like shitting on her and like, you're being a terrible resident, which she is,
yeah,
But I don't think Derek's a very good teacher either.
No, and I think Derek is only helping Lexi because it has to do with Meredith. Like, he's not doing that to all of the interns, and he's...
No.
And this brings me to, like, in the beginning, Meredith is talking about Lexi, and Christina goes, like, oh, do we not hate her anymore? And I love that line because I love how, like, real friends have to hate the same people. You know, like, you have to be on your person's side. And so I feel like part of why Christina is not so great to Lexi is because... she's kind of like being there for Meredith, you know, but it's like, she's going too far. Like there's a line to cross. And, but I just think, yeah, Derek is just doing it for personal reasons, which is very annoying to me. And he one minute he'll be like talking to Christina about Burke and like saying that he left and being her friend and asking her out for a drink for casual. And the next minute being like, you are the worst teacher. Like,
but he doesn't even like yell. He does this like passive aggressive soft talk to her. Yeah, that is like, it's too much. It's too intense.
It's really patronizing.
Exactly. Yes.
Like he knows he's above her still and just, he's being a man. I'm sorry. But he's just being a man.
He totally is. I will say, like, as the storyline progresses and then, like, what's her name? Lexi kind of freaks out in surgery and Christina steps in. I wrote, like, nice work, Christina, teaching. Like, she's like, no, you want to do it this way or whatever. And Derek recognizes that and it's like, Christina, would you like to, like, take over? And she's like, yes, I would. And I thought that was, like, a good segue into, I think, like, Christina and Lexi in a couple episodes have a really good, like...
a rapport.
Yeah, something happens between them and, like, with teaching. And I was like, that's the first step to Christina becoming a good teacher.
Yeah, so maybe she didn't need that, like, sort of, you know, talk from Derek. But I feel like the way he did it is just not...
Oh, no, it was super shitty.
Yeah.
Like Kelly said, like, Christina was being a douche. But, like, so was Derek. They were just both being McDouches.
Yeah, Derek's power horse was faster and larger than Christina's power horse. but it's okay.
Best.
Lexi's horse is sucks.
Yeah. Hers is a dead horse.
Oh God. This is the dumbest note I've ever written, but I just wrote, this episode is a lot about teacher versus student. Cause we have Meredith with Norm and then we have Norman. What do we call it?
Norman.
Yeah. And then we have Chris, you know, it's just like Derek is trying to teach Christina. Christina's trying to teach Lexi. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of different pairings, and I feel like it's a little bit about that, too. They're all trying to find their footing in this new role, I feel like, still. So
I would agree. Chief's all pissed off that they cut into Camille's neck.
Oh, yeah. Okay, should we talk about Camille just for Kelly's sake?
Yeah. Kelly, talk to us about Adele.
Yes, give us everything.
Oh, right. So I've literally gone on a whole rant in my notes. Just about how selfish she is and how she's making Camille's situation about her and manipulating Richard. And I really, it grinds on me a lot.
I mean,
it's literally just me being rude to Adele. I'm trying to find like anything here that I can pull out. Me just being... She's supposed to be a grown-ass adult.
What about her just literally...
Why is she whining?
The classic line of, Richard!
Or before that, she just slit her throat!
Oh my God.
You can hear it in the background, which I'm dying over. Because, like, they had to do something, but yeah. They just slit her throat, like Richard!
Adele, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, God. She's awful. Also, Camille, new actress, just needed to note it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's not the same girl.
Okay, good.
She knew the moss? Oh, Camille knew that the mass was there and growing was my point. Like how, because Chief, when he has that really sweet moment with her and he's saying like, it was the size of whatever, like
you
felt it. Like there's no way you didn't know that was there.
She just wants to go.
Right. And so I thought that was, that speech always sticks with me when he says like, as your doctor, this is your option, as your uncle, please, you know, like I liked that because I think that was like probably very mature of Chief to like realize that those are two different expectations.
Yeah.
And to give her the choice. And yeah, it was fucking selfish of Adele to like them not having a kid to try to force Camille to go through this. Like, it's just all silly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we see Camille's mom finally. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah, we always, in that prom when we were always like, where is her mom? Yeah. Who are her parents? So we see her mom.
How did this get resolved? Did she die?
Yeah.
Does she die in an episode?
No,
but she didn't die in this episode. No, okay.
I think there is an episode where she does,
but not this episode.
Right, yep.
Am I right in thinking she falls in love with someone and she has that moment with Chief where she's like, just let me go. I've been loved. I've lived my life. Let me die.
I think
no,
so.
Is that her? No, or is that else? That I think is, that's this season, but that's the person with the brain tumor that says that to her parents with Derek. It's in like the trial. And like, she's like, just let me have the surgery. I've been loved. I know exactly what scene you're talking about.
I think so. Yeah.
It's coming up at the end of this season, so I can understand why you would get them confused.
Bree's like, on my 7th rewatch.
Seriously. It's a little embarrassing.
I feel like that's all I have on Chief, other than just sad and just F Adele. What about, should we talk about Workout Girl, which what did I say her name is? Gretchen Blit? No.
Ruthie?
Ruthie. This one is always, it's one of those, I hate it because I just hate the situation that this girl is in and I like get pissed about it. I love the message that Gray's kind of sends.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love Callie's, I don't think Callie should have done what she did to that patient's, the husband, not at all, but no. I love watching it. Like, I love seeing her, like, just go, because, like, that's what a pedestrian watching would think about that situation. As a doctor, you can't say those things, but, like, any normal person, like, I'm thinking those things, so I just, like, love that part.
Where she goes off and...
where she just goes off on him, which also she's very much, like, obviously... reflecting what's going on in her own life. But
yeah, what do you think, Kelly?
Yeah, it's very much just the whole situation of Ruthie. It upsets me so much that she's in that situation, and Will throughout this episode, I just want to slap him.
Size 4 to move in together.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Even him being like, she wanted to. It was just a fun, you know, whatever. I'm like, you don't support that.
No,
like,
it's not. You don't ever let someone have that mentality, ever.
Exactly. I hated that so much.
Never going to be healthy.
No.
No. Especially in two, like, if you're taking ibuprofen every day, you're going to fuck up your gut. Seriously.
Yeah.
And you're not eating properly and you're not, like, giving your body the nutrients it needs. Like, if this dude truly loved her, I didn't think there's anything wrong with, like, wanting to be healthy, you know? But she, and encouraging
she
your partner to be healthy. But she doesn't
want to
be healthy.
Right.
She wants to be a size 4. And being a size 4 does not define healthy.
No.
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment when Callie says to him, I'm trying to find it in my notes, she's like to him, she needs to eat, though. We can't fix her leg without her eating. Yeah. And he goes, so you want her to put all the weight back on? And I was like, in what way are those two things correlated?
Right.
Like, it's a great point.
Yeah, it just... And I think it's brilliant that they've brought that up as well in that context, because it's such a massive thing that I think it just... Yeah, it highlights it really well in such a little line.
Yeah, a little story.
Yep, I think so too. It's one of my, favorite is not the right word, but it's one of my favorites because it's like interesting and I like the message that it like.
And shares. I don't think you expect her to die.
No, that's the part that like gets you. When I forget what the guy's saying to her and he's like, no, you can't because she's dead. Which like, harsh way of telling
Well, it was something about he was like, she's going to understand like that he was going to smoke a cigarette or whatever. Yeah. She's going to understand because like she's in surgery and then she's like, no, she's not going to understand because she's dead.
Yeah.
He's like, shit. Oh shit. Here we go.
Yeah. Who ends up pulling her away? Bailey and
George.
George. Yeah. Which, because then I wrote Bailey teaching moment right after that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. She kind of just looks at Callie and she goes, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and Bailey knows all. But I love that. I don't know. I just love that scene.
And then the line where is it? It says, or she said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you all right? And it was like, or is something the matter?
Nothing.
I don't know. It's nothing. And then she says, nothing almost cost you your career right now.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Bailey yeah. teaching moment.
Yeah, Bailey
all
knows.
All over Cali.
Bailey knows it's not nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know when, like, something is very, like, deeply affecting you and you can't go, okay, first of all, you're at work, so you can't really go to your coworkers about this really intense, shitty thing that's happening. And so you just get to this breaking point. You take it out in a really inappropriate
right.
way. And then like your coworker is like, what the fuck is the matter with you? And you're like, nothing. I'm fine. Like, I feel like I've had a moment like that. It's just like, I can't share with you why I almost just punched this guy in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. And George is just watching and knows that it's like all his fault.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I think maybe we should, since it's, well, should we get football boy over with?
Let's get football boy over with.
First of all, I
that dad sucks a D.
Yeah.
He is so.
Also, so does the thought of weights being attached to your skull.
No.
Like, that's one of those ones where I'm like, ha. Ah. Like, I can't.
It's that shot where they show the screws in his head and
yes.
as she puts the weight on and it just starts bleeding. It, mm-hmm.
Yeah, no way. And then your dad's yelling at you like you're a linebacker.
Do it.
I just don't understand what is the point of all of this.
I don't know. And
yeah.
I think
forgive and forget.
Well, and it was football injury, right?
Yeah,
it was
coach and dad.
I think football is not soccer, but like football, American football is such a barbaric sport. Like
yeah.
if I ever have a daughter or a son who wants to play football, I'm sorry. I'm all about following your dreams, but no, not football. Like you get so many like brain injuries from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it messes with your actual skull.
Yeah, like I will just show them this episode of Grey's Anatomy and be like, is this what you want?
Do you want me to be that dad?
Do you want me to be that dad cheering you on to have weights into your skull?
Yes. Bruh. So I just hated that. And I don't know. I mean, I guess everything was successful and it's fine, but I just hate it.
Does someone tell off the dad?
The boy kind of tries to, doesn't he?
He tells him to leave, doesn't he? But I was trying to see what the point of this was in the episode, and I don't know if it's because I was tired when I was looking over my notes or what, but I just couldn't really get it to link in
like
we normally can with the patients. I was struggling, really struggling.
Yeah, I wonder if they just like needed a patient storyline for mm-hmm. like something that's super sensitive and delicate and intense for Christina to get mad at Lexi about.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, because she puts her hand on.
Yeah, and
he's
like,
hand.
Do not touch him.
Probably.
You know, so it was like a very intense injury.
They're like, so we'll tie weights to this kid's skull, and then Lexi will touch the hand, and it will be the worst thing to do.
Like a really bad like dad who's like pressuring this son. I
right,
don't know.
Right.
But
I
yeah,
think so.
I don't think it like ties in with the monologue or anything.
No.
Really.
What do we feel? Okay, so about the, I remember this Izzy Callie fight thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that this episode? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like very strongly, because I remember like the speech that Callie gives Izzy afterwards is
after?
So powerful. When you just want to talk and then it gets misconstrued and
mm-hmm.
the way the whole lunchroom is watching,
mm-hmm.
there's some like funny bits we get, like the lunch scenes and whatever that we all love. And like when Izzy asks Alex, like, will you pick me up if she's on top of me? Like, or will you get her off me? Like, I love that she asks him that and all these things. But it kills me that like Izzy is in the wrong and like, she doesn't even have the respect to like talk to Callie. I do love when she takes her earrings out, though.
And she takes her shoes off.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, you know, Krav is like, you know, protect your face. And Christina's like, don't protect
yeah.
your face. Protect your hands. Your face can heal. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Those are, like, some great, like, lines leading up to it. And, like, even just, like, the music and the clock hits, like, ticks
yep.
noon. And, like, she walks in and...
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel so bad for Callie in that moment, because when she realizes everyone's staring, she's like, all these people know
right.
what happened.
Right.
You know,
which
like
is
there's
more mortifying.
Yeah, there's all this gossip going on about
right.
me.
Yeah, because even that like random nurse ladies to George, like, oh, who's going to win the fight? You know, like, I'm like, who are you? And no.
Yeah.
But, okay, I just wanted to read a little part about from the Callie speech to Izzy that mm-hmm. says, this is the part I love. She goes, George may be the one who broke his vows, but you, we're women, Izzy. You did this to another woman. You took something from me. You stole something from me like a petty little thief. You are the one who should be humiliated. You are the one who should mm-hmm. be ashamed. You are the one. Don't you dare come to me forgiveness. You treacherous bitch.
Yeah, traitorous bitch.
Traitorous bitch.
Yeah.
Treacherous.
No, yeah, no, I know. I was like, damn. I want everyone's thought on that. Kelly, you go first.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I just, before that speech had happened, because initially I'd forgotten that that happened, I was like, this all just confirms that Izzy literally has no respect for Callie whatsoever, never has and never will. And she's just humiliated her, and it's not Callie's fault. None of this is Callie's fault, really. Mm. It should be Izzy that's suffering from this, and I don't think she ever really does anywhere near the amount that Callie has to.
Right.
Go through with this. It just, and there's the scenes in this where Izzy gets mad at George. She's like, she's crazy, she's gonna hit me, she's crazy, she breaks bones for a living. And I'm like, first of all, how dumb do you have to be to actually genuinely think that somebody is going to beat you up in the cafeteria in their place of work?
Yeah, right.
But also, like, it just infuriates me so much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, as someone that actually likes Izzy, I would like to beat her up.
Perfect. Yeah, I think it's hard too, because like, you don't want either of them to be mortified for what they've done. Like, I feel like there's in times, like, I've never been in one of these situations where like, you can empathize the person that fell in love, or, you know, the person, but I think it's that it's very one-sided. Callie is the only one that gets to feel embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Like, Izzy mm-hmm. doesn't ever have her moment of like embarrassment. It's like, because George, it'd be one thing if George didn't choose either of them, but he wants to be with Izzy. So it's really, I just like the women doing this to women. Like, I think Callie maybe thought they could have been friends or something.
Yeah. I totally agree with all of this. The thing that like, and I've never looked at it this way until today when I watched it. The thing that bothers me is we are so quick as women to go up against other women.
Yeah.
We have to, as women, stop making other women the enemy. And I listened to Kelly's speech today as like, that's fucking bullshit. Like, yeah, it's shitty. Like, you did this to another woman. But why aren't you calling out George? You're saying you forgive him, but you're so quick to be mad at Izzy about that. Like, I don't know. Like, for some reason, it just hit me differently today. And Izzy is absolutely in the wrong. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted, guys. She was absolutely wrong. Like, Callie is the victim in this whole situation, and it's terrible that she was cheated on. But I feel like as someone who has been cheated on, it is so easy as a woman to blame the other woman and not to blame the man.
Yeah.
And that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So I did appreciate at the end when Callie was like, no, I don't forgive you, you know, because she's like, why as women do we make other women who are, we've been cheated on with, make them out to be the villains, but like, we will so quickly forgive the man who cheated on us.
Right. No, yeah. I like that, actually. I think it's interesting. The show throws around the blame to all three people a little bit, because then in that, well, in the next week's episode, we'll like have a moment where George is feeling the blame, but then gets told that it's not his fault. Mm-hmm. So I think they do it. I think they maybe try to show all three sides.
Absolutely.
And like, this was the episode where you feel bad for Callie.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I think we'll have to see how it plays out. But I agree with what you said, Brie. I like thinking about it like that as well.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel terrible for Callie. It's just shitty.
Yeah, for sure.
And the whole fucking hospital knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when she's just standing in the rain, have you ever just stood there and been like, fuck my life?
Kelly's
like,
probably done it a lot. It rains a lot there.
Yeah, like everything just is really shitty today. Like, I had a bad day. People thought I was going to beat someone up. I'm just like looking to have a conversation.
Okay, but let's say they did fight. Who do we think would win?
Callie would win easy peasy 100%. Lemon squeezy.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, she breaks bones for a living. She definitely.
Yeah.
Could be like, oh, I'm going to reset your wrist. Oh, I'm actually going to break it.
Yeah. She knows the mechanics.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a while since Izzy was living in the trailer park.
Exactly.
What was I going to say? Oh, I have a note. I think, doesn't Derek, he wants a lifetime. Doesn't he give Meredith that speech?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. I want to marry you. I want to have kids with you. I want to build us a house. I want to settle down and grow old with you. Blah, blah, blah. And then he says, I want a lifetime. See what happens? I say things like that, and you fight the urge to run in the opposite direction. It's okay. I understand. I didn't, but now I do. You're just getting started, and I've been doing this for a long time. Deep down, you're still an intern. You're not ready. Which, again, is a little patronizing, because he tells her what she's thinking. Like, he never gives her the chance to voice her own thoughts. He always goes, so I'm going to say this, but I know you're thinking this. And I don't know how I feel about it. But, like, literally in that whole speech, Meredith says, okay.
She said,
what if I do? Yeah, like, she doesn't say a lot. I don't know.
But do we think she is feeling that way?
Well, she says, I'm not ready right now, but things can stay the way they are, and I can get ready. I feel like if you really love someone, give them the chance to get ready. Why does Derek want to be married this minute?
Oh, but also having been in the position the position where I'm the person that wasn't ready, it's awful knowing that you're not making the other person happy and not being what they want right then. Mm-hmm. That puts a whole extra dynamic into it, and it's so much more pressure. And it's... totally shifted, and then so much harder to become ready.
Right, I was going to say,
maybe
it's like
him
this...
stepping back and not putting himself there right then is kind of better for her. Not that I'm agreeing with his speaking for her, but I think maybe he shouldn't be pushing for anything more at the moment.
Yeah. I guess I didn't realize how the rest of it ends. He says things can stay the way they are. We can still meet in the elevator, the on-call room, holla, and maybe you'll get ready.
Shout out.
And I'll wait until you're ready. And he goes, but what if when I'm waiting, I meet someone who's ready to give me what I want from you?
I think that's fair.
I guess I do too. I don't know why I didn't hear that last line.
Yeah, like the first part, I agree. Like, stop telling her how she feels. Like, he does do that a lot. But I do appreciate, like, the second part, he's like, yeah, you're not ready, and, like, but so I'm just going to keep doing what you're comfortable with, even though I want more. But I'll do what you want. But if something else comes along, like, at least he's not lying to her. Like, I am, this is what I want. I want to start a family. I want a lifetime with someone. So if someone comes along who's willing to give that to me, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to wait any longer for you. And that happens in life.
Right. I do think it's interesting, though, then, I guess it's his next episode, but we're going to talk, they'll get it. But, like, he then says, I have to start dating again in the next episode. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't know, like, if I'd be open. I guess, I don't know. He is telling her straight up. He's not being, like, shy about it.
No.
So I respect his honesty. It's just, you know, great tumultuous relationship for the show.
For the viewers, yeah.
For the viewers.
We have a great line in here that says, penmanship saves lives.
Oh, yeah. Who says that?
Izzy.
Oh, yeah.
Izzy,
also,
at the beginning.
She's like, I know we're not, like, something about, like, surgeries or something. She's like, but charting is very important.
Oh, yeah.
Penmanship saves lives.
We have Christina that says to Izzy, you are ghetto, very ghetto fabulous. And I love that line. And I also love, I think this is a great one. Miranda Bailey says, people are stupid and just want to be loved. That's the only reason anyone does anything.
I wrote that down too.
I love that line. Because it's true. Yeah. We are stupid and we do want to be loved.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the reasons why we do what we do.
Exactly. I think we should talk about, especially because you love Karev, like we all do, is that that moment that Izzy, you know, he's asking what she did to Callie. And Izzy tells him casually, as Alex says, like, one of your girlfriends, that she, you know, had sex with George or whatever. And that speech when he gets mad at her and, like, tells her, like, I think he says, like, you told me you weren't ready after Denny, and then you did this.
Yeah.
I wrote, this is the Karev I love. Like, when he, like, actually shows his vulnerable self a little bit, and, like, it also made you realize, like, oh, shit, like, that did happen, and he might still, like, have feelings for her.
Yeah, because, like, at the beginning, when he first told her, he just went, I'm embarrassed for you, and walked away.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, well, are you embarrassed, or are you just pissed that she's not sleeping with you?
Yeah, it always takes him a while to get to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's underlying, and I think, I don't know if it happens yet. I can't remember. But Ava comes back first.
Yeah,
she?
Next episode.
God.
Yeah, the worst. But I love those moments because I think, and this is like spoiler alert, but well, this whole show is a spoiler alert, but like I really, well, I think Karev and Izzy are like a pairing that I like for a while. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they were like,
because it started early on.
It started like season two.
Right.
One.
Yeah, we've been waiting since then for them to get back together.
Yeah. And the whole Karev carrying her after the Denny thing will never get old to me. It will never be my most favorite thing.
Oh, damn, dude. When you're PMSing real hard, just watch that scene and like, so many tears.
Exactly. But yeah, so I don't know.
I did feel bad for Karev because that would suck. She did totally treat him like just another girlfriend. Oh, and then when he comes into the bedroom and the just tissues. Tosses tissues, and he's like, keep it down.
Keep it down. Here.
Oh, yeah. I know, again, I think that's when I must have wrote that line because it's like he tries to show that he doesn't care.
Yeah.
But he's a good person at heart. He just has not like broken down to that yet.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any like final thoughts before I read notes and trivia, which are lame? They're not even.
I don't. Kelly, do you have any like random stray notes or anything you?
No, mostly just about my hatred for Adele.
If you have a picture of like where you wrote Richard,
please send it to us.
You should take a photo of it and send it to us. If there's nothing like. You don't want us to see on your notes.
No.
Like drawings of penises.
Yeah, just like lots of hearts and penises.
or like Mrs. Callie Derek Shepherd and shit like that all over the place.
Or like Bree and Abby are so annoying.
Yeah. Why did I choose to do this?
I'm revoking my $10 immediately. Yeah. Any other random notes or funny things to notice? I wrote Norman has great hair. I just needed that to be seen.
Yeah.
He's got a full head of hair.
Oh, he's looking good. Norman is looking good.
Yeah, but is he really Norman, though? Because I'm watching Gilmore Girls for the first time. I'm finding it very confusing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he is the grandpa.
Yeah.
Richard. His name is Richard.
Are they very different characters?
Richard Gilmore.
Richard Gilmore, yeah.
No, they're very different characters. Richard is very stoic, rich man.
Okay, yeah.
I think Norman is like a Magoo. He's a total Magoo.
Like that moment where he like teared up with, what was her name? That was dying, but not dying.
He gets like twitchy-eyed.
Another note I had is, I could really do with someone telling me that I'm about to die when I'm not, so that I could just get the compensation for it right now.
Yes.
That would be a really great thing.
And like get rid of all the toxic things in your life. Just
I love how she's like, I broke up with my boyfriend. I got rid of my apartment. Yeah. Like it had parking. Like, do you know how hard it is to find? Like quit her job, whatever. Like I would probably do all those things and be like, okay, well not break up with my boyfriend, but like quit my job or I don't know. Just be like, let's travel. And then
John is walking by.
I love you. And then to find out, like, oh, no, you're not dying. So then actually all your travel gets paid for.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It would be amazing.
And she can afford a house, they said. So
absolutely. I don't know what I would do. I think I would, I don't know. I would definitely, like, cancel all the upcoming work I have.
I thought you were going to say, like, cancel. I don't know why, but I thought you were going to cancel, like, Hulu and, like, Netflix. And, like, cancel all the things I pay for.
No, I would get more.
Yeah.
Any other notes? I feel like what we'll do is we'll, after this, we'll read notes and trivia. We'll collectively rate it.
Sure.
And then we'll do our little new segment.
Our little ditty at the end.
Yep.
Cool.
So, notes and trivia. The episode's title originated from the song The Heart of the Matter by Don Henley. 18.04 million viewers. And again, Camille was initially portrayed by Tessa Thompson, but is portrayed by Camille Winbush in this episode. Her name is Camille.
Camille is played by Camille.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's rate it, shall we?
Yeah.
Kelly has to go first.
Because she is our...
out of 10. Scalpels.
1 to 10 scalpels.
I was going to go for about like a 7 scalpels, okay. Just because I think it's a great all around, like, what you think of when you think Grey's Anatomy, it's got a bit of everything.
Yeah,
I liked it. It was funny. There were some nice relationshipy bits. Yeah, no, I didn't hate it. So
perfect.
I think that's great.
I'm gonna say 6.5 for the same reasons. I love the Callie speech. I love the speech. I'm talking to the husband of the workout girl. Really great words I'm using here.
Up to Ruthie.
And I just honestly live for the line, "She just slit her throat." It's just so good.
That got a half a scalpel.
Exactly. That brought it up a half. So
I'm gonna give it 6 scalpels just because I always rate a little bit lower. Also, I just like was watching it on my lunch break and I like wasn't quite invested. But I did like, I thought it was, Kelly, you're right. Like it was a classic Grey's episode. And it was nice that things like kind of came like finally to a head with the George and Izzy thing. And Callie, I feel like that storyline like has been building and kind of stagnant for too many episodes. So I'm happy that we're like plugging forward, moving through that.
Yep.
So I appreciate that.
So now is the time in the episode where we ask you, what are you like? We love to get like recommendations of things or whatever from like our co-host. So it could be other podcasts you're listening to, shows on Netflix or something that you're into, or a book you read,
or movies,
or anything at all.
This is really your platform to just talk about what's
recommend
jive in your groove. What's making you a power horse right now?
I literally listen to one other podcast at the moment, and it's just called The Banging Book Club. It's by, this shows my age, it's embarrassing, 3 British female YouTubers.
YouTubers are cool. I love YouTube videos.
They talk about sex, gender, like politics, all that sort of thing. But yeah, they read a book every month and do a podcast about it. It's really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's like a book club, but you don't actually have to go. Yeah, that's
you
awesome.
Don't yeah, you that's don't so even smart. Have to read the book. So
I like that.
Fantastic.
Do they do it like weekly then or monthly?
No, monthly. And they're taking a bit of a break at the moment. So it's Instagram Lives at the moment. But
what is called, you said?
The Banging Book Club.
The Banging Book Club.
Oh, perfect. Very good.
Yeah.
You said you were watching Gilmore Girls.
Yes. I'm at like season 5. Rory's at college.
Nice.
can't really tell you too much more than that. And then I've been loving The Bold Type at the moment. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
I don't know what channel it, what's the word you use? I don't know.
Network, maybe? I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know what network it's on, but it is on Amazon Prime. And it's just about 3. It's kind of Sex and the City-esque, but it's set in like a magazine that's supposed to be Cosmo. And they just hit on some really great, relevant things that are happening in the world. I like it a lot.
What was it called?
The Bold Type, as the in D-O-L-D, not B-A-L-D.
The Bold Type. I mean, I'd be into that too.
It's another podcast, The Bold Type. I was going to ask you, have you watched Killing Eve?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I don't know how to watch BBC shows.
It's BBC?
Yeah.
Did you watch Downton Abbey?
I watched the first few seasons, but I was quite young when it came out. So I'm going to have to do a rewatch.
Yeah, I was going to say you should, because they're coming out with a movie next year. So now's a good time to watch all the seasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very powerful show.
Okay. I have a
shift
question
it right to the top.
Exactly. I have a question. And this isn't like me trying to call you out for your age, but I think it's very cool that we have a listener who's your age, first of all. Also, you're much more well-spoken than I was at your age.
Yeah.
I think even more well-spoken than I am now.
We are, like, combined.
But, like, do we show our age? Or do we seem very young and thriving to you?
You're Be young, careful you're how thriving.
Perfect.
No, I love it.
Okay, good. Because I was just telling Bree, I think I was telling you, I used to do, so in like, in the US, we do like senior portraits for like when you finish mm-hmm. your high school, whatever. I don't know if you guys do that or not. And I recently.
No, definitely not.
Okay. Yeah. We're very naive, or not naive. We're very
vain.
Vain.
Narcissistic?
Narcissist. That's what I was looking for. I recently stopped doing them because I felt like I couldn't.
You did?
Yeah, I do like a select few, but I felt like I feel too old. Like the age difference is so great that I feel like the things that I used to say that were like cool are like.
Not
I just
anymore.
Sound like someone trying to be young. But I don't know. So that's why I just had to ask.
No.
You guys listen to that. Hip-hop.
She would never tell me that we were, but I trust you and believe you, Kelly.
I think we are very young, and I think we have young souls and hearts, and we always will.
I think I'm mentally 23.
I would say I'm probably 19.
Perfect. But anyways.
See, my mental age is like 31, so we might balance out there.
That is perfect. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being a patron and for being up in the middle of the night and just for all of the things.
Yeah, you really sacrificing a lot of your precious time tonight.
And
so
sleep.
We really appreciate that.
And I hope you didn't wake up your parents.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I have to say, and this isn't me being creepy because you're in our Facebook group, but I clicked on your name and
Abby's being really creepy.
I am not. Okay, so when I went to London, I bought one of the backpacks like you're wearing in your profile picture because everyone used them there and I had to fit in because I'm trying to be young. I don't even know how to say who makes them, but I bought one of the little mini ones and it's black and I'm obsessed.
Oh, I love mine too. Like really, really love it.
Wait, yeah. What backpack is it? Do I need one?
It's the one I use instead of my Patagonia now, that little black backpack.
But what brand is it?
I don't, it's like Fjällräven and it's Swiss, Swiss, I think. Isn't it?
Norway, maybe? I don't know. I don't want to.
It's somewhere where I don't know how to read their language. She's looking it up. But yeah.
The second word is Kanken, which is much easier to pronounce.
Yes.
I just call it my Kanken, so.
Okay, yeah, it's like, oh, there it is. Fjällräven Kanken.
That sounds like a Lord of the Rings house.
But they're very, like, they come in a million different colors.
Oh, how fun is that?
Okay, here's my question for you.
They're great.
I'm sorry, I don't want to waste any listeners' time, but this is informative. What's, do you have the app, like, the normal size, and does yours have the laptop feature, like the little sleeve?
Mine does not have the laptop feature. I am looking into getting one. That does. But my Mac does fit in it,
in the
back pocket.
I spent about 45 minutes in a store staring at all of the options of sizes and colors. And then I bought the smallest one, like the tiny one, used it for a little bit, realized it was too small, went back. But then when I looked at the big ones, I was like, nope, I want the small one. So I had returned it and I was like, actually, can I have that back? And I got it back, I realized I left my really expensive Apple AirPod headphones in the pocket.
No.
So it's a good thing I got it back anyways because we were in there.
Oh, that would have been terrible.
So, meanwhile, Jake is sitting outside on a picnic bench being very annoyed with me for being in a store for like an hour and a half and then coming out with the same backpack. But anyways,
great.
They're my favorite. So that's all.
So that's very good.
Well,
so thanks for being a patron.
Yeah, and
no, thank you guys.
This will air next week, right? Yeah.
So we usually don't say that on here.
Oh, shoot.
Just in case.
We usually say that after we hang up.
After we hang up. But it's okay. You can call time. It's totally fine.
Wait, I have a question about time of death.
Yes.
Right, because I've never really wanted to put it in the Facebook chat because I didn't know how to phrase it to not sound rude. Right. So, in England, we use the 24-hour clock and we're taught that when we're like five, when we're learning to read like the 12-hour clock.
Yes.
Is that not something that happens in America?
No. So we just do 12 hours. Unless you're working like in the medical field or we call it military time here.
Yeah.
So no, it is not. Because I know like in Europe, that's kind of the clock everyone Years. Uses, but we do not, it's unless just, you're in a certain profession.
It's like us using the freaking, not like, the metric system.
Yeah, the using one. The, like, inches and feet. What the fuck is that thing even called?
I don't know.
I also saw, this like appeals to this, I just saw a meme, no it doesn't, I just saw a tweet today on Twitter that said, the closest anyone will ever feel to being a ghost is when they're listening to a podcast and they know an answer to what they're trying to say, yes. Because you know how you're like shouting it, but they can't hear you, obviously? Yeah. So to all of you that feel like ghosts, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what is it called? We have the metric system and the American shit system. I really shit on America. In
English system.
That's not what it's called.
It is. It's just Europe, I think.
Yeah.
Most places.
Yeah, so we're just strange, but that's really funny.
Yeah, no, so, I just thought that was you didn't. Odd. No, you don't sound rude at all. We're the worst.
We also don't know how to add 12 to a number.
Yeah, I have my phone on military time. I
struggle with that.
Because I can't. I still sometimes. I'm getting better, but like between the hours of 7 to 11, I'm confused at what time it is. Because my phone's in military time.
And when I have to add 12 to the number, I have to add 10 first and then 2.
And then 2. And you count them on your toes.
Yeah, exactly. So,
anyway, but you get to call it time of death, and you can call it on your time, obviously.
You can call it in, yeah, metric, or if you want
metric.
Yeah, military, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying. You call time of death for where you are.
So this is going to air next week.
It makes no difference today because it's the morning now, but it's the time of death is 1:43.
Whoa, shit, dude, your day is gonna suck tomorrow. I'm so sorry.